This morning I have a message for you. I believe that it's very, very important that we remind ourselves of God is the God of the increase. I believe it would do us very, very well if we would become increase-minded rather than decrease-minded. So, Father, we're asking for utterance today to minister this word to your precious sheep. And we honor you and we glorify you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.
Amen.
Go ahead and be seated for a little bit. Psalms 115, verse 14 says, "The Lord shall decrease you more and more, you and your children." No, it doesn't say the Lord will decrease you. It says the Lord will increase you more and more. And so we understand that our Heavenly Father has a system for increase. And it's exactly opposite of the world system. Now, in the world system, how many of you know some people kick and claw and scratch and bite? They run over people that get in their way just to have their way. But his system bypasses the world system. You know, as a matter of fact, the Bible calls him a husbandman. And the word husbandman really means farmer. In James chapter 5 and verse 7, notice this verse with me. It says, "Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth." Now, the precious fruit of the earth is souls. You and I are part of that precious fruit of the earth. When you gave your heart to the Lord, our husbandman, our farmer, was reaping a harvest off the seed that he planted in giving his only begotten son. Think about all of the millions and millions and millions of people that have come to Christ as a result of that precious seed sown of his son for the precious fruit of the earth. It's a wonderful thing. You know, Jesus spoke of it in John 12, 24, where he said, "Verily I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." Amen. So we need to see this then, that God is the original farmer. And everything in his system works by planting or sowing and reaping. As a matter of fact, God created this world on the seed principle. Over and over again, you'll see that the seed produces after its kind. That's in Genesis 1:11, where it says, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so." Amen. Powerful. Now, you've all probably heard of the old cliche that nobody can count the seeds in an apple, but only God knows. Anybody can count the seeds in an apple, but only God knows the number of apples in a seed. Because a seed has exponential power. Because you see, everything starts small. It starts as a seed. If you went to Humboldt County, you would be able to see a redwood tree that is 380 feet tall. Imagine that. But did you know that a redwood seed is no bigger than a little grain of salt or a grain of pepper? Ooh, man, the seed was in itself and produced a massive harvest. So everything in my life and everything in your life, it starts as a seed. A relationship, a marriage, a business, a dream, a church. It all starts as a seed. You know, when I met Brenda when we were in Bible school, I was so very, very taken with her. Our relationship began as a seed. And you know what the seed was? She knocked on my door and I opened my door and I looked into those beautiful blue eyes. And it was like I was seeing liquid love in those eyes. That's the first thing I noticed about her. Then, of course, I noticed other things as well. But it became a seed of dating. It became a seed of infatuation. And the relationship grew and grew. And then we became married. And then the seed of our two sons and our three grandchildren. Amen. You see, as long as this earth remains, there is always going to be night and day. There's always going to be cold and heat. And there will always be seed time and harvest. That's found in Genesis chapter 8 and verse 22. You can look at the verse, and I just quoted it. The Passion Translation says this: as long as the earth exists, there will always be seasons of planting. There will always be seasons of harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night. You know, when Paul was speaking to the church at Corinth, he was reminding them, you know, you need to really keep your eyes on Jesus, because we're just simply men who brought you the word of God. And Paul said this: I planted, and Apollos came along and watered. You see, Apollos was a teacher. How many of you know, once you hear the word, it's got to be watered? But then he went on to say in 1 Corinthians 3:6, but it's God who will give the increase. So in both verses that we've just looked at, increase came as a result of planting. And this kingdom that you and I are in, this kingdom of God that we have been transferred out of darkness into, it is a system of casting seeds into the ground, and it operates on the principle of sowing and reaping. You take a long look at Mark chapter 4, and we won't look at it long today. But you'll notice in Mark chapter 4, this principle. Mark 4, verses 3 through 8, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. And the fowls of the air came and devoured it up, and some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it scorched it, and became had no root. It withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it and yielded no fruit. And other fell on what kind of ground? Good ground. What kind of ground are you? Good. You're good ground. And did yield fruit that sprang up and what? Increase. And brought forth some 30, 60, and 100-fold. Now later on in this chapter, he was talking to his disciples because he wanted them to catch it. Because he said, if you can understand this truth, if you can understand the mysteries that I have just revealed to you, then you can understand all parables. In Mark chapter 4, verse 10 and 11 and 13, it says, when he was alone, they went were about him with the 12 and asked him of the parable. And he said to them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. And he said to them, know ye not this parable? How then shall you know all parables? Well, let's flip the coin. If you understand this parable, you can understand all the rest. Amen. And here's what the mystery of the kingdom is. The mystery of the kingdom is this: if the word is sown on good ground, there will be fruit. And you need to make the determination of what kind of ground you are. If I were you, I would say on a regular basis, I'm good ground. I'm open to the seed of God's word being sown in the ground of my heart. And then he went on to explain the kingdom of God a little further in verse 26 through 29. He said, and so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground. And should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring up and grow up. He doesn't know how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. Say of me, first the blade, then the ear, and then what? The full corn in the ear. Now read verse 29 with me. And when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he puts in the sickle. Why? Because the harvest is come. I got this in my heart as I was preparing this. I woke up very early today. And this thought came to me as I was laying there and thinking about today and thinking about the message. And what this thought was is this: as a child of God, in the kingdom of God, your saying and your speaking of God's word is sowing his word into the ground of your heart. Amen. And then this thought continued, once it is sown, it must be nurtured. Yeah. You know, farmers sometimes saturate their seeds before they plant them. Not all seeds. But as a good farmer, as a good planter of God's word in your heart, this seed that is in you, it's got to be nurtured. Yeah. And this thought came, saturate and soak the seed that has been sown with water of life. With the good teaching of God's word. And expose that seed in the ground of your heart to much light. In other words, as you continue to feed on the word of God, the entrance of his word will give light. And it will cause that seed that's on the inside of you to be first the blade, then the ear. Woo, glory to God. Then the full corn in the ear. Amen. And one way that you can nurture this seed is by meditating on it, by thinking about it, by speaking it, and by saying it, and by pondering it and cogitating it, and bringing it up to yourself over and over and over again, saying what he said, believing what he said, and acting on what he said. Now notice that nothing happens in our lives until a seed is planted. Is there anyone here this morning that can say, I have sown good seeds in my life, and as a result, I'm reaping a wonderful harvest? Yeah. You know, oftentimes when we talk about sowing seeds and sowing and reaping, it's in the negative sense. And certainly that's true. It can work in the positive sense, but it also can work in the negative sense. Yeah. But I don't want to talk about the negative today. No. I want to talk about the positive. Because right. I believe that you're good ground. Yeah. Praise the Lord. And that you are more than willing to open your heart and to receive it and welcome it into your life. And so understand this, that nothing happens until a seed is planted. If there's no deposit, there is no... So what does a farmer do? A farmer with a barren field doesn't sit on the porch and gripe and complain about not having a harvest. No, he gets busy. And he starts sowing the seed. Why is that? Because he happens to know if there's no planting, there's no harvest. You see, whatever you sow, you're going to reap. If a farmer plants beans, what can he expect?
Beans.
No, if a farmer plants beans, he's not going to expect wheat.
No.
He's going to expect and he's going to harvest exactly what he has planted. Is that right? Because again, it's the law of Genesis. The seed produces after its kind. Amen. Now notice with me, you are doing so good today. You know, this is accelerated teaching. And you know what accelerated teaching means? You don't need to go that long. And I thought someone would get happy about that. Now, I can keep you here all day if you really want to.
Come here.
What's happening? Is something wrong?
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Oh, thank you. He that finds a good wife... finds a good thing. You are my good thing. Thank you. Yes. Galatians, the 6th chapter. Everyone say Galatians. Chapter 6 and verse 7. This is so simple. In Galatians 6, 7, it says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. The word soweth here refers to any seed that is sown. Amen? Both positive and negative. If you sow love, what are you going to reap?
Love.
If you sow patience, what are you going to reap?
Patience.
If you sow kindness, you're going to reap kindness.
Yeah.
How about this one? If you sow forgiveness, you're going to reap forgiveness. Amen?
Yes.
Anybody ever had to forgive somebody?
Yes.
You know, God absolutely is for forgiveness. He forgave us.
Yes.
You know, I just think in my heart that it really pleases God when you forgive somebody that has done you wrong. That does not mean what they did was right. What they did was wrong. But you're not going to hold them to the fire any longer because you don't want the fire to affect you. And so as you forgive, you can expect to be forgiven. Amen? Forgive. Amen. I love it. If you sow finances, you're going to reap finances. If you sow bitterness, you're going to reap bitterness. If you sow strife, you're going to reap strife. Yeah, I just got to tell it like it is. No, you better hold off on that. Because what you are telling like it is may not be very edifying. Amen? No, we don't want to be telling people like it is. We do not want to sow strife. You know why? Because strife literally is the manifestation of the presence of evil. In the book of James, it says, where strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. So we don't want to be opening up the door to evil. We don't want to be opening up the door to the enemy. We want to keep the door closed. And I found out this, that the number one way that I can keep the door closed from the enemy is simply walk in love. Simply walk in love. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, right around verse 8, it says, the love of God never fails. How many of you are interested in being a success in life?
Amen.
Then walk in the God kind of love, sow seeds of love, and reap love. You see, whatever you dish out is coming back.
Amen.
You see, I can't sow irresponsibility and reap success. I cannot keep sowing and putting things in my body that are not good for me and reap a healthy body. You know, I believe that that's a huge key to divine health is just watch what you put in your mouth. Not only watch what comes out of your mouth, but watch what you're putting in your mouth. Sowing to your physical body means several things. It means presenting it to Him as a living sacrifice. Did you know that when you present your body as a living sacrifice to Him, it is sowing the right kind of seed?
Right.
And as you do that, you can expect the Lord who is for your body to watch over your body. Because it is true, our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. I thought I'd get a better amen than that. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, and it's not His responsibility to steward your body. It's your responsibility to move your body. It's your responsibility to feed your body right. And that's all I'm going to say about that. And the choir said, amen.
Amen.
So I can't sow a responsibility and reap success. I can't sow laziness and reap a reward. I can't sow stinginess and reap a blessing. Some of the most miserable people in the world are stingy. And did you know where the word miser comes from? It comes from that word miserable. And what is a miser? A miser is a penny pincher. Now, it's okay for you to pinch pennies when you go to Walmart. And it's okay for you to be a penny pincher when you go to Costco. But when you come to church, don't be a penny pincher. And we're not just talking about money in this house. We're talking about your time.
Serving.
We're talking about getting on the dance floor of service. And come into church and say, thank God, I was glad when they said unto me, I'm going to go to the house of the Lord. I'm going to serve my God today with all of my heart, with all of my mind, with all of my body. I'm going to serve Him with gladness, for He has made me glad. So you can get happy about serving God. The happiest people in the world are people that are generous with their whole life. Happy is the people who will roll up their sleeves and get about His Father's business. There's a lot of business yet to take place in the earth. There's a lot of people to reach. Not only in the world as we looked at the map, but there's a lot of people to reach right here in Hayward. Oh, glory. But we got to be ready for the harvest. We've got to be ready for the harvest. And how do we get ready for the harvest? We do pray.
Yeah.
But we also step up.
Yeah.
And we serve. Amen. And we say, Lord, I'm yours to command.
Amen.
Whatever He says unto me, I will do it. Amen. Say with me, I will do it. So all I'm doing today is I want to encourage you to sow good seeds. Seeds of faith. Seeds of love. How about this one? Seeds of hope and seeds of encouragement.
Amen.
Encourage one another. The day of the Lord is at hand. And we should not be separating ourselves from one another. Because He's coming soon, we should all the more gather together.
Amen.
And speak words of life and words of encouragement and words of blessing to one another.
Amen.
Whatever you may need. You need more time, more energy, more finances, more support, more relationships, more wisdom, more friends. But whatever you need more of, plant a seed. Sow some time. Be that good friend. Sow some wisdom. You know, there's a lot of people, even in the building today, there's a lot of people today that are new to this. And you have been around for a number of years. You have wisdom that you've drawn and gleaned from the Word of God. And God will use you to give a word in season. God will use the wisdom that He's given you to impart to others. Sow good seeds. Sow friendship. Here's God's promise. You're going to reap a harvest. Did you know the level at which you sow determines the level that you will reap? If I sow inconsistently, I'm going to reap inconsistently. If I sow sparingly, you know, if I just kind of lollygagged around all week long and didn't pray and didn't think and didn't meditate and didn't study and came up here and tried to communicate with you, I'll guarantee you this message would fall flat. You know, we cannot be lazy when it comes to the things of God. So if we sow sparingly of our time, our treasures and talents, we're going to reap sparingly. But if we'll sow regularly and sow consistently, we're going to reap consistently. I like Galatians 6:7. And I think another translation could say it this way. It remains true that whatever you regularly and habitually sow, regardless of what it is, that is exactly what you will regularly and habitually reap. And so let's talk about finances just for a few moments today. Tapping in to financial increase starts with bringing our tithes and offerings to the Lord.
Amen.
You know, whether you agree with that or not, I'm not going to fall out with you on that. I mean, that's fine, whatever you want to believe. But we can go to the Word of God and we can see that tithing actually was instituted before the law. And a lot of people have this mindset, well, I'm not under the law and tithing's part of the law. No, Abraham tithed before the law. And Hebrews says, he that dies, who has died, speaking of Jesus, he receives our tithes today. Amen? So we don't want to fight about it. But here's what Malachi says. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10 says this. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, says the Lord, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a curse. No. Lack is a curse. He said, I'm going to pour you out a blessing. Do you like it? That there shall not be room enough to receive it. I got to thinking about this, the windows of heaven. He said he'll open the windows of heaven. What happened when the windows of heaven were opened in Genesis chapter 7 in Noah's day? It literally flooded for 40 days and 40 nights. Now notice with me, this flood of opening the windows of heaven is not a flood that will drown people. This is a flood that will bless you over and above. Amen. Oh, glory to God. This is the first fruit. Your tithes is the first fruit. It's not the leftovers. You see, God never intended the tithe to hurt you. He never intended the tithe for you to look at it as a debt you owe. It's not a debt you owe. And it's an investment you make. It's not a debt I owe. It's a seed that I sow. Look at your giving as an investment and not some sort of a bill. You know, when's the last time you saw someone go to the mailbox? I mean, going to the mailbox monthly, and they're mailing in their bills and they're dancing to the mailbox. Woohoo! Glory! And they put that in the box and they're just saying, whoa, yeah, and they're dancing and they're shouting. Why? They're not doing that because there's no return on that. But when you sow into the kingdom of God, this is an investment for eternity. This is an investment that brings blessing, manyfold, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. So understand this. It's not designed to decrease you. It's designed to increase you. So when you sow your seed, be increase-minded. In Proverbs 3, verse 9 and 10, it says, honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with what kind of wine? This is not paying God. This is an investment. You see, God's system offers you an investment opportunity that never fails. I don't know how many people we have in the church that invest in mutual funds and different things like that. But mutual funds in the stock market, how many of you can go up and can go down? Right? In some years, you know, your yield on mutual funds and stocks might be 3 to 5%. This year, it's more like 13%. Oh, hallelujah. That's a good thing. But what I'm saying to you, it's unstable. The world system is up, it's down, it's unstable. See, we must plant our feet on solid ground. And the most solid ground that you can plant your feet on in any area of your life is the principles of the kingdom of God. Oh, glory to God. I've done it again. I've preached myself happy. You know, wow. Well, I believe in having savings accounts. Do you? Yes. If you don't have a savings account, get one. Yes. I believe in investing. Do you?
Yes.
If you don't, start.
Yes.
I believe in all of that. But I also believe in a higher way.
Yes.
A good friend of ours said it like this: God's sowing system will always outperform man's saving system. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, glory to God. And an understanding of that will make you happy.
Amen.
An understanding of this will make you cheerful and happy. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7, it says, let each one of you, as he has made up his own mind and purposed in his what?
Heart.
not reluctantly or sorrowfully or under compulsion, for God loves, takes pleasure in, prizes above other things, and is unwilling to abandon or to do without a cheerful, joyous, prompt to do it giver whose heart is in his giving. Did you know that the Greek word for cheerful is hilarious? It's literally spelled H-I-L-O-R-I-O-S. We get the word hilarious from it. God loves your attitude of cheerfulness. Amen?
Amen.
Glory to God. How come people don't get happy when they're giving? How come they don't get happy? Oh, Margaret, he's coming for our money again. Hold steady. No, no. We're not here to get anything from you.
No.
You're welcome to come to this church if you never, ever give a nickel. We love you. Mm-hmm. We're not here to get anything from you. We're here to get something to you.
That's right.
By sharing the principles of God's word. And as you activate in that in your life, you will see the results. But how come people don't get happy when they're giving? You know why? Because they're thinking subtraction. They're thinking minus instead of plus. They're thinking decrease instead of increase. When you give, please do me a favor. Don't ever think subtraction. Don't ever think subtraction. He's going to multiply our seed sown. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 10, it says, "And God who provides seed for the sower." Somebody says, "I don't have any seed to sow." God will provide it for you.
Yeah.
It might start like it started with a man of God years and years ago with a pencil. He put a pencil in an offering bucket at an Oral Roberts meeting. And before he left that building, someone ran up to him, and he had committed to $10 a month. Someone ran up to him and said, "The Lord told me to give you $10. That was his seed. God wants to give you seed. He wants to give you seed because he wants to multiply the seed that you sow. And God provides seed for the sower. And bread for eating. Amen. Now when he provides you seed, don't eat all your seed. This is what happens. People eat their seed and they come to church and they say, "Well, that seed's already gone." No, no. Take a portion of your seed and prepare it to sow it. And God who provides seed for the sower and bread for the eating will also provide and multiply your resources for sowing and increase the fruits of your righteousness, which manifests itself in active goodness. Remember what we talked about last week? Goodness is in you. And it's being activated. Kindness and charity. Dr. Avery is a mighty man of God, and he is a brain surgeon. He grew up in Keith Butler's church in Detroit, Michigan, a powerful, powerful church in the Detroit, Michigan area. He's a neurosurgeon. He performs a lot of surgeries on children. And he's done a lot of study about some different things. And he said this in one of his teachings. He said this, "The brain centers when you give light up. The pleasure centers in your brain light up when you give." So giving, whether it be finances, whether it be time, whatever the case may be, giving actually will make you happier. Now there's two kinds of people. There's givers and there's takers. You're either giving with generosity, with your time, your money, your efforts, your energy, your life, or you're being a taker. Which one are you? In Proverbs 11, verse 24. Y'all still here? It's 11:22. It's 11:22. Everyone stretch. Say, "I'm receiving.
I'm receiving.
I'm believing.
I'm receiving today.
Look at your neighbor and say, this is a good word. Say, God's really helping Pastor Mark today. This is a good word. This is a God word. What are you doing, Pastor? I'm planting seeds. I'm planting seeds. And I'm believing the seeds that have been planted today, they're going to spring up. And they're going to grow, hallelujah, and become strong. Notice Proverbs 11:24. Let's read that verse together. Proverbs 11:24. Ready, read. There is that scattereth and yet increaseth. And there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tends to poverty. Interesting verse. Let's think about it for a moment. The Holy Ghost spoke to a friend of mine and he said this, lack does not always come from the money you don't have. Sometimes it comes from the money you do have that you shouldn't have. See, the tendency, let's be honest about it, the tendency is this. When things are tight, the tendency is to draw back and to hold on tight. But when you understand the promises of God, God's sowing system is going to outperform anything that happens in your life. Listen to this statement. There are some things that you will get faster by sowing for it than by saving for it. Shall I say it again? There are some things that you will get faster by sowing for it than you will by saving for it. Another translation of Proverbs 11:24 says this, one gives away and gets more or gets richer. Another holds on to what he should give and is poor. So we don't want to be frugal when it comes to the kingdom of God. The Message translation, notice this in verse 24. The Message says this, the world of the generous gets larger and larger. But the world of the stingy, it gets smaller and smaller. Look at verse 25. Read verse 25 with me. You're good, doing good reading today. Ready, read. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered himself also. Now, we don't want to get into politics. Let's change that word liberal to what it really means. The word liberal there literally means generous. That's what it means in the Greek. So we could read it this way. The generous soul shall be made fat. Well, somebody says, Pastor, I'm on a diet. I can't afford any more fat. We're not talking about that kind of fat. We're talking about your soul being fat. Your body, your soul just being enriched. Amen? And it says, he that waters shall be watered also. The Message says this, the one who blesses others is abundantly blessed, but those who help others are helped. Here's what I believe in closing. I believe that the time to plant is now.
Yes, it is.
Say it with me, the time
for me to sow
is right now.
Right now.
The problem is people wait for a better time. The sooner the better. We need to get rid of one of these days mindsets. One of these days I'll serve the Lord. When I retire one day, when I get to a certain economic level, then I'm going to start giving. Or when this happens or that happens, I'm going to. Rick Warren said it this way, one of these days is none of these days. One of these days is none of these days. The point is this. Don't wait for things to get better.
Yeah, that's right.
Because the devil will always come and get you to look at this and look at that. Don't wait. Start planting right now. Why? Because the sooner you start planting, the sooner you will get a harvest. Ecclesiastes 11:4. Notice this verse. Ecclesiastes 11:4. He that observes the wind will not sow. The wind's going to blow. And he that regards the clouds shall not reap. Why is that? Because perfection always paralyzes potential. If you wait for the conditions to get better, you'll never do anything. So whatever you're going to do, start doing it now. Ask yourself, and let's take it out of the financial realm right now. Ask yourself, what kind of seeds am I going to plant this week? What kind of words of grace? What kind of words of love? What kind of seeds of energy? What kind of seeds of wisdom? How can I plant it in somebody else's life today? Let's all stand to our feet. That's my message. My name is Mark, and I approve it 100%. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Father. You are so gracious, and you so good to us. We're going to ask the musicians to come up. Praise the Lord. Say with me, I'm a living in a great flow of generosity. I am living. I'm living in the overflow. Place your hand over your heart and say, Lord Jesus, I'm asking you by the help of the Holy Spirit to help me to be more generous. Help me, Lord, even if it takes a jump start, for me to serve you with all of my heart. You said in your word that as I am generous, my life will get larger and larger. I purpose in my heart to be a great blessing. And by the grace of God, I'm going to dispense good to other people. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Glory to God. Thank you, thank you. I think we ought to praise Him. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for bringing your people up. First of all, bringing many out and then bringing them up, Lord. I pray the eyes of their hearts, Lord, be flooded with light. Help them to see what you have just said to them in the word. Help them to know that you are the God of the increase, that you're not trying to get something from them, but you want to get something to them. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, help your people, first of all, come out. Come out. Come out of what, Pastor? Come out of a lack mindset. Come out of a poor old me mindset. And come on in to a redemptive reality mindset that Christ has redeemed you from the curse of the law. Thank God you have been redeemed. And the Bible declares that we are to let the redeemed of the Lord do what? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord think so. Let the redeemed of the Lord act like it's so. Let the redeemed of the Lord speak like it's so. Let the redeemed of the Lord come out. And let the redeemed of the Lord come up. Come on up. Come on up to the reality of your redemption in Christ Jesus. For it's true. Say of me, Christ. He already has. He's redeemed me from the curse of the law. The curse of the law is a thing of the past. No more sin for me. No more sickness for me. No more lack for me. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want for energy. I shall not want for strength. I shall not want for wisdom. I shall not want for health. I shall not want for money. The Lord, He is my shepherd. And He's a good shepherd. I said He's a good shepherd. Hallelujah. A good shepherd is a shepherd whose flock is healthy. Not all weak, not all emaciated, not all beat up and beat down, but blessed coming in and blessed going out. The head and not the tail, above and not beneath. Glory to God. Woo! He is our shepherd, and we are the sheep of His pasture. Hey, glory to God. Healthy sheep. Glory to God. sheep that are 74 years old that can still dance in the Holy Ghost. Sheep that are strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Sheep that wait upon the Lord and have their youth renewed like the eagle. He's our good shepherd. And He will do good to you. Only good to you. All the days of your life. It's like the psalmist said, surely goodness, surely mercy is going to follow me all the days of my life. And I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Woo! He's a good God. He's our good shepherd. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.